Baseball is back.
Perdomo makes the play.
And a high fly ball. No doubt about this. Home run Marte.
They're going to send them all the way around. Corbin Carroll with an inside the park answer back.
I'm Ivan Melendez.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Tori Lovello, and you're listening to the T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the T-Backs Podcast. Proud to be Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast, bringing all the latest Diamondbacks tea and talk from over here across the pond in London. And finally, baseball season is here. Pitchers and catchers and some position players have reported into spring training over in Arizona. And to bring all of the facts and the latest scoops, we have Arizona Diamondbacks writer for Sports Illustrated, Aaron Hughes, joining the show this week. Aaron, you're a tea drinker. What have you got in your mug today?
I have a Georgian tea right here, one that I picked up when I was still living in Germany. It was grown on the Black Sea, apparently, according to a quick Wikipedia search. I like it. I mixed it with milk, and that is all the information I have on it.
Awesome. Yeah, it's an Earl Grey for me today to match the horrible, disgusting, you know, winter sky here in London. I'm sure it's much nicer over there in Arizona. I know it was pretty gloomy yesterday.
Yeah. Kind of gloomy yesterday. I'm hoping for a blue sky. It looks good so far. We'll see.
Well, today we're talking about something a little bit different. I know most people who are showing up to spring training are talking about, you know, Corbin Burns is there, Zach Gallen is there, but today we've got something a little more different when it comes to who's going to be on the mound. Of course, it's pretty much guaranteed that Merrill Kelly and Eduardo Rodriguez are locks to make that opening day rotation, but that fifth and maybe even a sixth starter position is kind of anyone's game. So first of all, let's talk about, you know, the battle between the two young studs in the Diamondbacks organization, Brandon Pfaadt and Ryan Nelson. Of course, Brandon Pfaadt, NLCS 2023 breakout star, you know, pitched 181.2 innings in 32 starts last year, and that's compared to Nelson 150.2 innings over 28 games with 25 of those starts. So we've used Nelson from the bullpen a little bit. What's separating the two, and who do you think's more of a lock for that fifth starter position between those guys?
Well, if we're talking purely between Ryan Nelson and Brandon Pfaadt, I think right now it would still have to be advantage Pfaadt, in my opinion. Last year, I mean, he proved himself to be an absolute workhorse. He led the Diamondbacks staff with over 180 innings. You know, that's something that we saw Zach Gallen do in 2023. We saw the effect that it had on his arm when it came to playoff time, but Pfaadt was effective over that time. You know, maybe he didn't have quite the season that you wanted him to have, but he was great. And Nelson had an extremely dominant stretch in the second half, you know, post All-Star break. But if we're going purely off track record, I still think at this point it would probably go advantage Pfaadt. But the wrench in the works, you know, is a third name in that bucket. Jordan Montgomery, who is still on the roster as we're speaking right now. Which could change at any moment in time if a team is so inclined to trade for him. He's owed over $20 million this year, which is a brutal amount of money. But he is also a veteran guy who came in looking fantastic, according to my good friend and colleague Jack Sommers, who was there yesterday. And, you know, he has the potential to bounce back. You know, you don't like to say he's a rebound candidate. I feel like that's a worn out line at this point in the off season. But, you know, he has experience. He has experience dominating. And I think that should Montgomery make it to opening day and still be on the team, so to say, you know, not be dealt off, that he has maybe the highest chance of making that fifth spot.
Yeah, he's been on mic already as saying that he considers that spot his to lose. And yeah, as you've said, has come back having lost a significant amount of weight, despite the fact he may also be carrying a small injury, having returned from the break with that left hand problem that's been mentioned. Do you think that his status as more of a veteran, as a guy with a lot more experience, means that he's better placed to sort of push all that criticism, all of that negative press out of his mind? Or do you think that might actually be a hindrance, like we started to see the moment people started questioning Paul Sewald last year and it all started to go off a cliff? Do you think that could be a similar scenario when it comes to Jordan Montgomery?
Well, I think we kind of saw the effect of the negative press and everything last year as well. I mean, he's not deaf. He can hear the boos when he was coming off the mound. He can hear the questions every day after the game in the clubhouse, you know. And he can see his own stat line. He knows his struggles. And he was very responsive to the comments and the questions, and even to Ken Kendrick's comments after the season when he came into spring training this year. He wasn't afraid to answer him. He said that he had thick skin. He said that he had older brothers, and that he wasn't going to take it to heart. And I think that shows that veteran maturity. You know, it's not necessarily true that a younger player or somebody who hadn't had that experience, or even a different veteran, would have maybe taken that more personally and maybe had a different view of that. I think that veteran experience does give him a slight edge, and I think that's part of just the reason of how Mike Hazen and Torey Lovello evaluate their guys, particularly in the pitcher side of things.
Yeah, it would certainly be nice to recoup a lot of that value that, you know, is going to be put into him this year. If he does have a good start to the year, obviously, who knows what could happen before the trade deadline. He's somebody who's, you know, spent the entire offseason very publicly on the chopping block as a trade candidate. Derek Montilla over at PHNX has said, you know, we should be calling up every single GM in the league and saying, can I interest you in a slightly used Jordan Montgomery? But do you think he's perhaps more likely to be a more valuable trade candidate now instead of just dumping him for, you know, whatever we can get, you know, a bag of 20 baseballs and a can of club soda? Do you think he might, you know, come back, have a bounce back, and be more likely to be traded as somebody with a bit more value if he does have a good start to the season than staying in that fifth rotation spot? Because, you know, we can't have seven starters.
I mean, not just at the start of the season. If he comes out and has a good spring at this point, I mean, he's lost 20 to 25 pounds, apparently, and looks great. You know, everybody's raved about how good of shape he's in. And if he goes out there and has a good spring and other teams start dealing with injuries, as you do in spring training, we saw that with Erod last year, there could be a team out there who's like, we want Jordan Montgomery now. We've seen him pitch well. We've seen him in shape. And, you know, he didn't have a spring last year. Maybe a full routine year would do him some wonders. And yeah, you know, if he does stick with the Diamondbacks on the opening day roster and he does start to pitch well, I think that if we get to the All-Star break and he's still doing well, maybe a 3.4 ERA-ish, 3.5, 3.6 even, and we're at the All-Star break, I think the Diamondbacks might be even more inclined to keep him because of his experience, because he's a left-hander. And because maybe that extra spring training did really have that much of an impact. And if they're in the mix, I think they'd want to keep every good starter that they possibly can, keep that depth. Because, you know, at any point in time, I hate to speak this into existence even, that Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen and Corbin Burns could all just suddenly, bam, go down. And we'd be left just devastated, right? It's possible. It's happened to other teams. And you'd hate to see that happen to the Diamondbacks. And we're in a rare spot where we could kind of stomach a sort of blow. Not like that, but maybe slightly similar to that at this point.
I'm debating in my head whether I need to edit that out and
yeah, you might
prevent
need
us from being jinxed a little bit. But you mentioned that we have great depth. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of those real left field candidates when it comes to that great depth the Diamondbacks have. We were talking about veterans. Now let's talk about, you know, some young guys down the end of the spectrum hovering around, you know, the jump from AAA to the majors, or, you know, just a little bit below that, and people who are expected to start the season in AAA Reno. First of all, let's talk Yuler Diaz. You know, lights out in his first few major league appearances before it all started to go a little bit pear-shaped the more he got in. Was considered a starter when he came in to kind of be that injury cover into the rotation. Then got moved to the bullpen, looked, you know, okay in the bullpen, but I think long-term probably thinks of themselves as a starter guy who wants to fight for a rotation spot in the future. I think we probably will see him in the majors at some point this year, given the fact he's already got major league experience. What do you predict 2025 is going to look for them?
Well, Gilbert showed some dominance early in his big league career, and, you know, sometimes a young player kind of comes up and has that crazy stretch, you know, it's kind of a streaky experience. Blaze Alexander is a similar story. You know, we saw him come up and just mash early. Adrian Del Castillo is another one. But with Gilbert, I know our whole team, and particularly Jake Oliver, if you've read his stuff, he was pounding the table for Gilbert just with absolute excitement. He's like, this guy is good, and everyone's going to see it. You know, he was a little talked about name before he came up, really outside of the Diamondbacks media space. You know, not a top prospect around the league, but still an exciting name. And he kind of showed the stuff that he has. He showed, okay, this guy's legit. And, you know, he had a hiccup, as everyone was expecting. You know, we were like, okay, where's the fall off here after those first couple starts? But I don't think that is going to necessarily stop him from getting another chance this year. You know, like I said before, injuries happen, opportunities open up. You know, even if it's just a couple day stretch, I mean, I'd assume at this point, even if you give Jordan Montgomery that fifth spot, next guy up would be Brandon Pfaadt, next guy up would be Ryan Nelson. After that, it's probably Gilbert Diaz. And
yeah, he's a guy, still, even after a pretty disastrous second half of his MLB season, he still finished with a, you know, a 3.81 ERA, which is, you know, pretty close to where we're going to be expecting a lot of these guys fighting for that back end spots to be. He obviously has that 96 to 98 fastball, a slider, and a curve. That's only three pitches. Do you think that's enough for a starter? Do we think he's already at that threshold to be a major league starter with, you know, one very good pitch and then pretty solid secondary stuff? Or do we think he needs to start working on, you know, something else as well?
It does have some reliever risk inherently, right? You know, we've seen other guys do it. Look at Spencer Strider dominating with practically a two-pitch mix. But it would, of course, be nice if he had a couple other pitches, right? Even one other pitch that kind of moved off of his stuff. And you see major leaguers do it all the time, you know. Bryce Miller in Mariners camp, my goodness, he's been adding a pitch every single offseason. It's insane. But you know, the Diamondbacks guys could do that. They're tinkerers, as a squad. Zach Gallen, of course, a notorious tinkerer. Between every start, he's saying even if he went out there 8 innings, gave up 0 runs and 3 hits, he's complaining about how his slider was moving. It's, you know, it's just how it is in the big leagues. Sometimes you're to keep yourself grounded and effective, you gotta keep working on your stuff. And even if you're good, you can't just be content. And I think that Gilbert Diaz is probably cognizant of that. And he's going to be trying to work on some stuff to improve himself.
Yeah. So let's go from talking not enough pitches to potentially too many. We're going to talk about a guy affectionately known as the kitchen sink. Let's talk about Yu Min Lin with his 6/7/8 pitch repertoire, depending on at what point in the year you catch him. Of course, WBSC Premier 12 champion with Taiwan, battled his way through a spell on the sidelines after, you know, a freak injury, being hit by a foul ball in the dugout to the face, and arrived in AAA for the first time in his career in 2024, following, you know, a pretty strong year and, you know, 2 scoreless innings in the spring breakout game. Of course, he's only 21, so a lot of people saying, you know, maybe this year might come a bit too soon for him. But there's a phrase over here in football or soccer, as the Americans call it: if you're good enough, you're old enough. Do you think that's going to apply to him this year?
I think that, you know, Yu Min Lin, as a top prospect in our system, he's definitely got an advantage on some of these other guys of just curiosity, right? Mike Hazen is as curious as any of us. You know, Torrey kind of keeps his fingers off of it and tries to stay one layer separated from those prospects. And, you know, he always tells us, yeah, I've heard of him, but he's not getting too involved in that decision making to bring him up, at least from my understanding. But Mike Hazen's a curious guy, and I'm sure he wants to see Yu Min Lin as much as the rest of us. And he does throw that kitchen sink, kind of similar to another Yu that we know in Yu Darvish, who seems to have infinite amount of pitches, even some that are unnamed. And Merrill Kelly, too, who throws a ton of pitches. I'm sure that'd be a fun combo to see, and I hope that we do get to see Yu Min Lin this year, just for him to interact with Merrill Kelly and maybe even give him a couple pitches, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a sort of debate of, you know, the anti-Moneyball guys, because if you're going to look at Yu Min Lin's stuff this year, especially pitching in Pacific Coast League, and that's hitter's paradise, so his numbers aren't going to look as good as maybe he actually is. But how much confidence do you think we can have in the fact that this could be, you know, something nobody's ever seen before? Amazing prospect that just hits his stride, never looks back.
You know, it's something, even with prospects who, let's say a guy puts up a 0 ERA in the minor leagues, Paul Skenes, right? Even there, you got to be like, okay, is this going to translate? Because the major leagues are so different, particularly in a place like the Pacific Coast League. You know, you've been hit around, you're in a hitter-friendly environment, but pitches also move differently. And for a guy who relies so heavily on his off-speed, as Yu Min Lin, and your pitches are moving drastically differently, look at guys going to Colorado. You know, I think that it is going to be an adjustment period. And the Diamondbacks do have a disadvantage in that pretty much all of their stadiums are in incredibly hitter-friendly environments in the minor leagues. I'm thinking Amarillo, Reno, and Hillsboro are probably 3 of the most hitter-friendly minor league environments out there. But we've seen pitchers overcome it. You know, Gilbert Diaz, as we mentioned, came up and had a great start. I think that, you know, Yu Min Lin, throwing the kitchen sink at guys is going to be an exciting thing to see. And, I think that it could absolutely translate from the minors.
Yeah, and then, of course, we have always the monetary perspective as well. The moment the Diamondbacks have had Asian players come into the roster, it's always coincided with a massive boom in tourism in the area, people coming to see, you know, these guys play. You go back a few years, but, you know, Byung-hyun Kim's a cult hero from the 2000s from Korea. And I think as baseball in Taiwan continues to look super successful after defeating Samurai Japan, I think there's going to be a lot of guys who make that flight over from Asia to come and see what's going on with, you know, Taiwan's probably going to be their newest major league. I don't think there's too many other guys who are getting close in major league prospects organizations. So maybe we might even see him just deployed in the bullpen for a stretch, just to, you know, offer something different and get him used to the environment, because of course he still mostly uses a translator when he's in the clubhouse.
Byung-hyun Kim, now I'm getting my names all mixed up. I'm a big fan of his, and I know Ryan Thompson in the bullpen also was basing
with the
his
same
whole delivery off of, yep, playing wiffle ball in the driveway. It's always an exciting time, and you know, we see what the Dodgers are doing with their Japanese sensations. Who knows, maybe Yumin Lin is the first step in us developing our own Taiwanese anti-Dodgers squad. I don't know, but it's an exciting thought to have such an exciting arm come up for the team, and especially when it's a pitching prospect. I know Diamondbacks fans get really excited because of our track records. So,
speaking of excitement, of course, 2025 is going to see a return probably to the bullpen of a much anticipated arm in Dre Jameson as well. You know, this 6-foot righty, he's got absolutely fire velocity when he's 100% fit. Good movement on it, on his secondary stuff as well. He's previously a starter, but having basically not thrown a baseball all of last year, I think we're expecting him to be a bullpen arrival going into 2025. What are we predicting in terms of his potential output? Like, we've seen that, like, he's a guy who wants to put up a 0.0 ERA and, you know, no questions asked. How realistic do we think that's going to be for him? And do you think he might have enough to get back to being considered for a starting spot?
I think that it's probably unrealistic to see Dre Jameson in the rotation next year. Partially just because of that insane rotation depth that the Diamondbacks have, going all the way down to another guy in Joe Elbis that they added to the 40-man roster this year. You know, the depth is incredible at the moment. You know, unproven depth, maybe depth that is even questionable if it's going to be super effective, but depth in any form is super exciting. Just to have security, right? I think maybe Dre gets converted in a worst case scenario. But what I'm really excited for, and what I've written about a couple times now, the people who follow my stories, is how exciting it's going to be to have Dre Jameson in the bullpen in a relief role, and how effective I believe that he can be. You know, his pitch mix is awesome. I'm particularly a big fan of that two-seam fastball. He's been working a lot on his other pitches. He's been out pretty much since Thanksgiving, he told us. Wow. He's been out since Thanksgiving trying to revamp and throw and get back into the flow of things. If I remember correctly, he's thrown 7 bullpens so far of differing intensities, and he's pumped to get going. You know, as pumped as any of us. He's been out of the game for way too long, going down in the middle of that 2023 season. And, you know, it was a devastating loss because he's such an exciting prospect. And, you know, an injury like that, it hurts everyone in the team. You know, just not having him around because he's such a big voice. Merrill Kelly raved about having him in the rehab group and how exciting he made all that, you know, the fire in his blood. But 100-mile-an-hour fastball, amazing other stuff. You're going to see a mini Justin Martinez in the back of that stuff-wise. That end of the bullpen is going to be so fun with Puck, Martinez, Jameson, the other guys, you know, who knows who we acquire here in the coming days. It's going to be awesome. I'm really excited to see Dre Jameson in a reliever role. We saw a taste of that in 2023, and maybe in a less your reliever today, starter the next day, he's going to be able to get more comfortable and more effective.
We've always done well in terms of having guys that have that really cool, hot clubhouse presence. Obviously, having added Josh Naylor to the clubhouse in this offseason, we've got, you know, finally like a fit Geraldo Perdomo, a fit Eugenio Suarez as well in this clubhouse. It's going to be loud in that clubhouse this year. But yeah, Dre Jameson's the first of those real presences we're seeing in the bullpen. Like we've seen from Kevin Ginkle, he's not a guy who likes to talk to the press too much, guys, but he's really quite aggressive when he's out there on the field. How do you think Dre Jameson's going to slot in there in terms of the role he's also going to perform on the mound as well? Do you think if he's good enough, he'll be considered as a closer if he's got that swagger? Do you think he's going to be more of an innings eater guy since he is a former starter? What do you see happening there?
If he can go out there and shove, I think sky's the limit for him right now, because we don't know what we're going to get with him coming off injury. It's kind of like a clean slate almost. I don't think he's going to be a bulk guy going in. I think we have enough options for that. Even moving a guy like Ryan Nelson into the bullpen if it's really necessary to get those extra innings. But we also have a guy in Seth Martinez who can do something similar, who we acquired this winter. But Dre Jameson, I think if he is really effective, I think he can even leapfrog Justin Martinez in that closer conversation because of he shares that raw stuff and he shares that mentality of I want to get the ball in those biggest moments, maybe even more so. Dre Jameson is a bulldog, so to say, and he wants the ball, he wants to get the saves. If it was up to him, he'd be in that closer position right now, right? He's like, I want the ball, give it to me, I'm not coming off the mound until I get those three outs. And, you know, they're going to give him a soft landing, maybe some lighter work, sixth inning, seventh inning. And then as he continues to build up and prove himself, maybe if he faces some struggles, he sticks around in those middle innings before those last couple for a while. But if he can go out there and dominate like we all expect that he could, I think we could see him in that ninth inning.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see, especially like with the talk of who's the closer going to be, who are we going to trade for. Obviously, David Robertson's probably the only real major league closer option left on the market. Do you think that we have what we need already? Do you think that's, you know, give us a percentage. How likely is it that we don't trade for late inning relief / closer stuff, despite what Mike Hazen has said publicly?
So purely a trade percentage?
Or going and getting somebody from free agency versus
I'd say a trade right now, about a 15-20% likelihood. An acquisition in general, I'd say closer to like 75-85% likelihood. I know that's a big range, but far higher in free agency. And that was the comments that Mike Hazen made yesterday, where he said he would like to get a clear and defined closer, Those were his words. He thinks the team is better when there's one guy in the back there. He thinks that's going to come externally, and he'd like to get someone. But the trade conversations have just, they're, at this time of year, it's not as good. You'd have to blow someone out of the water. You'd have to make kind of what he called, not a super smart move, kind of impulsive. If you want to go be reckless, is his words, another GM is definitely going to listen to your reckless offer. At this point, free agency is definitely the more likely path. And, we've seen some of those closer targets that we all wanted go off the board. Maybe, Tanner Scott was never likely, but a Kirby Yates, maybe. I know a lot of people were hoping for. Even Kenley Jansen recently going to the Angels. And now David Robertson is left, and he's someone that, is still going to be, he's been nothing but effective, below or sub 3 ERA, and then a 3 ERA the last 2 years, right about exactly 3 ERA. He's dominated the Dodgers, and he's been effective all the way into his 40s now.
So very much fits that mold of a Diamondback closer of everyone's worried if they're going to be passed it or not. You look at Mark Johnson, Paul Sewald. Yeah, add them to the list. Here's an old guy outside the stadium. You're the closer now.
find the nearest senior citizen, and he's getting the biggest outs. That seems to be the pattern. But the thing with Robertson is last year he worked as a setup man. People forget that he actually worked as the setup man for Mariano Rivera in some of those years with the Yankees. And he was one of the best setup men in the league. He was at times even more dominant than Mariano Rivera in those last couple of years. And it's not talked about enough, just the talent that Robertson has. He represents himself in free agency conversations, which is unusual for a player. A deal getting done with him, I think, would be awesome. There's some other options out there, but not necessarily anything people would get too excited about. I don't think people would be too happy if Craig Kimbrell was out there getting the biggest outs for the Diamondbacks next month. There are other options out there. But I think at this point, David Robertson in that eighth inning, ninth inning is probably going to be the name that people are going to be most excited about getting.
Yeah, we're not going to have a when does Craig Kimbrell come to the Diamondbacks conversation. That's a little bit too left field, even for this show. And we like to go out there in some of our predictions. While we're in prediction mode, though, we're getting towards the end of our time. Let's wrap this up with your one really wild prediction for Diamondbacks pitching in 2025. Over to you.
Really wild prediction. I think Eduardo Rodriguez is going to take a huge step forward. Go back to that 2023 shape, and I think that he could be one of the best arms in that rotation. I think people are really discounting him after last year. I think he could take a massive step forward and be a frontline guy. Join that 1-2-3-4 punch of Burns, Gallen, Kelly. Add Erod to that, maybe even push him up near the front couple names in that list. We saw him dominate for the Tigers. We've seen him dominate for the Red Sox. We've seen him dominate throughout his career, pitching in the World Series, pitching in the biggest moments. And there was a reason why the Dodgers wanted to trade for him previously when he was a Tiger. And there's a reason why the Diamondbacks went out and got him and gave him a 4-year, $80 million deal. And he's a name that a lot of people forget is even on the roster, because he was out for all of last year, even though he's one of the biggest acquisitions after the 2023 season. He wants to be a Diamondback. He built a home in Arizona. He's healthy. there's going to be a story that is either already out for me or coming out for me on Eduardo Rodriguez and his mindset. He's ready to dominate. He's excited to pitch with Corbin Burns. And we're going to see a big year from Erod. I believe that. I truly do believe that.
I'll hold you to that. And yeah, we're going to wrap that up. You mentioned you got a story coming out. Where are people going to be able to find that, and where can they find you on social media?
On social media, I'm at Aaron R. Hughes on Twitter, primarily, is where you're going to be able to reach out to me, or X, as it's called now, I guess. And my stories you can find on Diamondbacks on SI, Sports Illustrated. You know, I have a fantastic team of guys over there. Jack Summers, Jake Oliver, and Alex DeAugustino. You know, great dudes, great story writers. And, you know, we bring you all the breaking news. We bring you analysis, in-depth discussions. Try to find you everything that we can. As soon as something drops, if something's, you know, there's whispers going about, we're on it. And, you know, it's a job we all love to do. It's truly an honor to be able to service this community and bring them all the information on the Arizona Diamondbacks that we can. You know, we all love the game. We all love the team. And thank you for having me on, Benji. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming. Of course, this has been the T-Backs Podcast, Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast. You can find me on Twitter, or X, formerly Twitter, at GB_Diamondback. You can find the show at T-Backs Podcast on X and Instagram, and at T-Backs on TikTok for all the shorts and social cutdowns. Hi everyone, it's GB Diamondback. Surprise, this actually isn't the end of the episode. I just wanted to let you guys know that quite literally 2 minutes after we finished recording this episode, news came through that the Diamondbacks were in agreement with Kendall Graveman to arrive to the bullpen as a relief pitcher. So yeah, despite what we talked about in the episode with Mike Hazen saying he wasn't really looking anymore, the search was probably over, the Diamondbacks have got their guy. Graveman arrives, having formerly played for the Blue Jays, Athletics, Mariners, etc. But yeah, he's arriving at the Diamondbacks per Jesse Rogers over from ESPN, pending completion of a physical. I'll give you a little bit of the lowdown on the deal. They're 34. They missed the 2024 season after recovering from shoulder surgery. So yeah, that sounds exactly like a Diamondbacks pitcher getting injured. But had a strong run from Mariners, Astros, and White Sox across three prior seasons, having moved from being a starter to a late relief role in 2020 after recovering from Tommy John surgery then. Between 2021 and 2023, they pitched 187 and a third innings with a 2.74 ERA, 51 holds, 15 saves, and a 24.5% strikeout rate. More details are obviously to come on this, as this is breaking news, but I want to let you guys know that's why we didn't talk about it in the episode, because it hadn't happened yet. But again, thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.